The 100 Years' War, the De Guiscolin Period, the Good Parliament, Part 3. On May the 24th, 1376, at a joint session of both Houses of Parliament, Sir Peter de la Mare formally presented the Commons' charges before the Lords. He called for the impeachment of Latimer, Lyons, and Neville, Catterton, and Alice Piers. To these were added a number of lesser victims in the infighting of the City of London, the Skinner Adam Bury, who held the office of the King's Mayor at Calais, and like Lyons, had fallen foul of staple merchants, a wealthy London fishmonger, a crony of Lyons, who had offended some of the stapler allies on the court of aldermen, and several petty officials who had suddenly found their minor peculations caught up in larger events. Sir Peter called for the dismissal of all the King's principal counselors on the grounds of venality and incompetence, and the removal of Alice Piers from the court. In their place, the king was invited to appoint a permanent council of 3 bishops, 3 earls, and 3 barons who would reform the royal administration, stop improvident grants from 2 favorites, and not to fear to tell the king the truth. Until this was done, they would not consider any further grant of tax revenues, and the lords approved both courses. On the following days, Edward III's government capitulated. Steps were taken to secure the accused and their property. Latimer was placed in charge of the Earl of March as Marshal of England until conclusion of the proceedings and released on bail. Lyons was arrested and held in honorable custody in the Tower, to the disgust of the Commons, who wanted him closely confined. Catterton was found in the city and taken by boat to the King's great fortress at Queensborough on the Isle of Sheppey. Adam Bury fled to Flanders, and on May the 26th, the king agreed to dismiss Latimer and Neville. He also swore to remove Alice Piers from his household and never allow her in his company again. The new permanent council demanded by the Commons was appointed at once. John of Gaunt, too angry to accept any part of this revolution, refused to be appointed. The new council was therefore largely filled with government critics. Most of them were members of the Lords Committee who had worked with the Commons on their charges. The trial of the disgraced ministers and officials occupied substantially the whole month of June and in the first few days of July. It occurred in an atmosphere of intense hostility to the accused. William of Wykeham, who had never forgiven his own dismissal from office 5 years before, hectored Latimer when he was called on to answer Sir Peter's charges. If he had had his way, the charges would have been determined summarily without allowing Latimer either counsel or time for preparation. The accused were interrupted as they presented their case. From time to time, the lords broke off to investigate absurd rumors, discreditable to one or the other of the accused. And Latimer had imprisoned a messenger coming from La Rochelle with unspecified tidings from the king, that he had betrayed the king's secret dealings with Charles of Navarre to the king of France and made away with a witness who could have proved it, or that Alice Piers employed a Dominican friar to cast spells on the king to entice him into her arms. Many of these reports seem to have originated in London, where lampoons and jingles against the court were everywhere and ugly mobs gathered in the streets. In the event, something approaching justice seemed to have been done. Catterton came before the Lords in the middle of June, but refused to give an account of his conduct at St. Savard. Since there was no evidence against him, no verdict on him was ever reached. He was returned to his prison cell and released shortly afterwards. Latimer stoutly defended himself before the Lords and was acquitted of the charges of betraying St. Savard and Boucherel, which would have carried the penalties of treason. He was, however, convicted on only 2 charges, one relating to the sale of licenses to avoid the Calais staple, the other to the loan of August 1374. For these, he was fined a sum to be determined by the king and declared ineligible ever to hold office again. Lyons admitted most of the acts charged against him, but claimed the king's authority to do them. Since he had no official position and could produce no warrant, this was difficult to sustain. He was found guilty on all the charges against him and sentenced to be imprisoned at the king's pleasure and to lose all his property. Several of his associates suffered imprisonments and fines. Neville was ordered to make restitution of his gains on one of the debt discounting transactions, but otherwise seems to have gotten away scot-free. Alice Piers never appeared before her judges, perhaps because of the embarrassment which the proceeding would have caused the king. A statute was passed excluding her by name from the confines of the court. So we've gotten the trial, we've gotten what appears to be a little justice, but John of Gaunt is not happy. So there will be retaliations. But unfortunately, what comes next is the death of the Black Prince. Now the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.